we find at the end of the coming week's parsha, you find the Jerusalem Bible, page 241, remember what Amalek did for you on the pass when you were coming out of Mitzrayim, Egypt. How he met you on the path and he hit the hindmost of your people, all that were feeble in your rear, when you were faint and weary. Velo yare Elokim, he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when Hashem your God has given you rest from all the enemies round about, in the land which Hashem your God gives you for an inheritance to possess it, then Timche et Zeh Amalek, you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens, do not forget. Question is, who was Amalek? He was the result of the marriage between Esau and the daughter of Ishmael, produced Eliphaz, and then son of Eliphaz was Amalek. So Amalek is considered a combination of the hostile forces which developed from the people of Esau and the people of Ishmael. And there's a hint here, when you rest from all your enemies, all about. So this took place to some extent in the days of King Shaul, when also Amalek attacked. But it says in the prophecies, which you find from Bilam, and also later the prophecies of Daniel and Yechezkel, that before the Mashiach will come, then also we have to be ready to battle against Amalek. That's why we must never forget it. Now it says Zeich Amalek, because we have a principle that from before the destruction of the first temple, all the different races were already intermingled. Therefore, there's no way of identifying clearly any nation in the world. But it's this Zeich Amalek. It refers to the specific characteristics of Amalek. To understand the characteristics of Amalek, the key phrase is Lo Yare Elokim. We find in the Chumash this phrase of Yare Elokim is used particularly for non-Jews. And it's used particularly for non-Jews and an environment where they worship idols. So what's it, Lo Yare Elokim? It's always used a connection that had no conscience, no conscience at all. And it would kill people when it suited them. One of the first times you find it is in connection with Avraham Avinu when he went to Egypt. In the time when Egyptian life was directed by the most grotesque idolatry. But he says, they're going to kill me here, but my wife is beautiful, because Lo Yare Elokim, they've got no conscience. It's also used by Yosef when he was apparently the vice sultan of Egypt, vice king. And he said to the brothers, who didn't know it, they thought he's the Egyptian ruler, because I fear God, I'm accusing you of being spies, but I'm not going to imprison all of you, because I fear God. In other words, I'm a man of conscience. In the Chumash, we find the phrase Lo Yare Elokim used for people who've got no conscience. And that is the characteristic of Amalek. So where did we find Amalek? It says, or in the Zohar, and many midrashim, that the characteristic of Yishmael in all their wildness and their cruelty is shown through the immorality and stubbornness of donkeys compared to a donkey. The power of Esav is like the bull who just wants to damage and hurt, has great pleasure in bringing cruel power over weaker nations. And the combination of Shor v'Chamor produces the dog, Amalek, who is filled with arrogance. And it says the most extreme cruelties which will be performed by the nations of the world against the people of Israel will take place when there's a combination of the powers of the cruelties of Esav and the cruelties of Yishmael, and they combine to produce Amalek. So one of these characteristics is to destroy the conscience. So where do we find Zecha Amalek today? It's a question of the character of Amalek. We find it expressed clearly by Hitler, who said the reason why we have to destroy every Jew is because they invented the conscience. We have to destroy the conscience, which creates the weakness of the mind of man. And that was the basis, in practice, of what the introduction of killing millions of people, mainly Jews but also others, in the most cruel manner imaginable, to wipe them away, which was a terrible cruelty, never known before in such a manner, although the principles of it existed also in Roman times and in times of the Spanish Inquisition. And it continues today in the neo-Nazi movement. And where do we find the cruelty of Ishmael? That is also shown in the terrible cruelties which we are witnessing now. And so we can say, following here the Midrashim of the Zohar, we'll bring you here some more direct quotations. It says in Zohar, Kilat Yaakov, Amalek is called the dog of the external shell. And he is the production of the Shor v'Chamor when they get together. When Esau married the daughter of Ishmael, Amalek came. Then it says, in that time, the future, there will be an intermingling of the two powers of Esau and Ishmael, and that will become a time, that will come a time when they'll want to destroy the world. And if Hashem will allow them really to fulfill what they want to do, they'll destroy the whole world. Now, today we find ourselves in the most critical situation ever. We're fortunate, Jewish people, that we can't say that all the Muslims and all those of Western civilization, Christians, or those at least who believe in some of the moral principles of Western civilization, some of them have been constantly opposed to Nazism and also opposed to any nations that are based upon cruelty. And there are Muslims who keep to the Noahide code, and there are Christians, even though they believe in God, which is not the same as ours, but they are Yirei Elokim in the sense that we described before. They do have a conscience, and they want to uphold the principles of conscience. And wouldn't be for those nations, who knows what would happen to the Jewish people. Today we're faced with a very serious situation. And to demonstrate it, I'm going to read you just a few extracts from a brilliant speech made by a former president of America, Kennedy. And he said like this, he was also faced with threats that the world will be destroyed through the balance of terror. And he said in his speech, such a time, and this speech is based upon, I would say, the common factor between values of civilization which have their source in the Bible and which have been accepted by the Puritans and their successors, who believed strongly in the universal principles of morality and also gave support to first the League of Nations and after the United Nations Charter, which was based upon the medieval Puritan Protestant scholars, time of the Renaissance, who developed international principles of morality from the Noahide Code, from the knowledge of the Noahide, they took not from the Bible, and also the traditions of the people of Israel concerning the Noahide Code. So it says that I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. And although the world is different now, the same revolutionary beliefs of which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. So we are unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. And therefore, the World Assembly of Sovereign States of the United Nations, our last best hope in an age where the instruments of war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, renew our pledge of support to prevent it from becoming merely a form for invective, to strengthen its shields of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which its writ may run, that both sides of the world begin anew the quest for peace before the dark powers of destruction unleashed by science engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction. We dare not tempt them with weakness, for only when our arms are sufficient beyond doubt can we be certain, beyond doubt, they will never be employed. But neither can two great and powerful groups of nations take comfort from our present course. Both sides overburdened by the cost of modern weapons, both rightly alarmed by the steady spread of the deadly atom, yet both racing to alter that uncertain balance of terror to stage the hand of mankind's final war. So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness. Sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Let both sides explore what problems unite us, instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides for the first time formulate serious and precise proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. Let both sides seek to invoke the wonders of science instead of its terrors. Together let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths, and encourage the arts and commerce. Let both sides unite to heed in all corners of the earth the command of Isaiah to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. and if a beachhead of cooperation may push back the jungle of suspicion, let both sides join in creating a new endeavor, not a new balance of power, but a new world of law, where the strong are just, and where the weak secure, and peace preserved. So the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, not as a call to battle, but a call to bear the burden of long twilight struggle, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Can we forge these enemies a grander global alliance, north and south, east and west, that can assure a more fruitful life for all mankind? The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all observe it, and glow from that fire can truly light the world. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking God's blessing and his help, but know that here on earth God's work must truly be our own. Here we have an expression of someone who was a Yare Elohim, in the sense, a man of conscience. And therefore, although he recognized also that the balance of terror is that which keeps us from fighting one another, but recognized at the same time the enormous risks. And also that we have to deal with people who also have a conscience. You know, Amalek is the enemy not only of the people of Israel. We say that Hashem says is my enemy, because he's trying to destroy the true nature of God and God's message, which goes into each human breast through the power of the conscience. Even the people, they are far removed from a knowledge which comes through the Bible, but they all have an inner voice of the conscience. And that's what Amalek tries to destroy. And there's a further sign of Amalek, which we find all through the Tanakh. The sages say, Asher Korcho Baderech. He called the concept of there being a divine power. How did he call it? He knew quite well that the God of Israel is very strong, but he started attacking the people of Israel after their God had conquered the enormous Egyptian empire. And the nations of the world were terrified. What are the Jewish people going to do? Because they have their God behind them. But just because of that, he wanted to cool it. And the essence of Amalek is that they are ready, and that's how they describe in the Chumash, to go and attack the Jews, even though they know they're going to be killed. The concept of death being more valuable than allowing the Jews to exist is one of the basic characteristics of Amalek all the way through the Chumash. The Chumash says that when the Ma'apilim wanted to go and conquer Eretz Kana'an, so Hashem said, no, don't do it, because there's the Amalek there. And Amalek has the power, like the bees, to want to kill the people of Israel, even if it means they're going to die. This is the concept of glorifying people who kill themselves at the same time they're killing hundreds and thousands of innocent people, be they Jews or even be they just weaker people. And that's going on today as part of the wildness of Yishmael combined with the terrible cruelties of the Nazis. Even the Nazi manifesto to destroy all the Jews was shared entirely by the Mufti of Jerusalem, who worked also from Berlin to help the Nazis and to prepare all Jews in Palestine at that time also to be killed the death camps which were being prepared in Palestine itself under the Muslim extremists. We know that one of the, even before Hitler started, but that group of the fundamental Muslims with their wildness, the animalistic wildness, wanted to massacre, so they massacred a whole yeshiva when they were living at peace with the other Arabs in Hebron. Most of the yeshiva were massacred, cold blood. At the same time, they made a massacre in Jerusalem. And then he became a partner with Hitler. And that partnership, unfortunately, has grown now throughout the world. And everywhere, Jews are being threatened by people who don't mind blowing themselves up. And even this was the concept also of 9/11. So this is the danger which is faced today. And whilst this is a so-called agreement made between the present president of America and Iran has become his partner, there's never been a position so close to all the prophecies than today. Because we know Haman, the dictator, to some extent he was the great power under the empire of Ahasuerush to destroy every Jew in the world under the Persian Empire. That was his plan. He was, as he's always described, as a successor of Amalek in the Megillah. And the sages say, if we would do teshuvah, if the people of Israel would do complete teshuvah, Hashem will make sure that the world will be changed to the power of the Mashiach. If we don't do teshuvah, he's going to raise up a tyrant whose decrees are like Haman. And today, from that place in Persia, where Haman produced his edict, which is afterwards adopted by Hitler and the Mufti of Jerusalem, and today the policy of Iran themselves, Iran says, yes, I'll make an agreement, but death, all right, he's trying to cover it over, death to all the Jews in the Palestine, the land of Israel. And this is exactly as it's described, what might happen, and it's happening in front of our eyes. So today, we must be the ones in the forefront to recognize the enormous dangers that exist with the suicidal attacks. And of course, this is a great fear, because if these weapons of almost total destruction are beginning to surround the land of Israel, and they're being supported indirectly by so-called peace agreement with Iran, while at the same time Iran are declaring clearly death to America, but even more declared saying death to Israel, and there they're not just saying it, but they begin to supply deathly weapons to those that surround us. So we're today in this critical situation. So let us all see to it that this threat against the people of Israel, that we do as follows, where it's first mentioned in the Chumash with regard to the land of Canaan, you can't conquer it if Amalek is there. So the reason why they couldn't conquer it, Hashem said, because the Ark of the Covenant is not in your midst, and I am not in your midst. If you're going to try to conquer, or to occupy and keep the land of Israel without me being in your midst, but you're supposed to go to the land and recognize that it's God's land. And I'm only giving you the land if you say that it comes from God. But if you're going to deny that, if you're going to say, Kochi v'otzem yadi, it's my power, and you don't even want to introduce the concept of God into your national representation, whether it comes through the Declaration of Independence, or whether it comes through your flag, or whether it comes through the special national song that you have. Take an example from America. Where did America get it from? Where did Kennedy get it from? And what does he say all the time? He says, Almighty God. You've got to also follow the same. The nation of God took it from us. And now you are go to the baser nations who don't recognize God and don't recognize the conscience. And you know that the two are interrelated, because ultimately the conscience needs support. The conscience needs support by knowing the conscience is the voice of God, but it's weak in the human breast, because the materialistic, animalistic instincts are also strong in the human breast. That's why God made a revelation. A revelation of the Noahide Code, a revelation to the people of Israel, which has had an impact upon the whole world. We, the people of Israel, we should be the leaders to have as our motto, if I fight, I fight for my God and my country. That's the motto in America. Why is it not the motto here? Your Declaration of Independence, like America, has got to refer to God Almighty. Yeah, and even on your money. Yes, the America, they say, on our money, in God we trust.
Yeah, but the forefathers knew about
that. Please don't interrupt. It says, God we trust. In God we trust. That's the motto of the people of Israel. Trust in God. So, what, the Americans adopted and we don't? That we have to go in the same direction. Surely there's a sign today, there's such threats against us. And they're so clearly spelled out. And I will say, if Obama would today take to his heart the message of Kennedy, who was also in a situation of crisis in this time, between the communist threat and the Cold War. But he said we've got to come to some agreement. Even as a Cold War, let's try and see that we recognize the enormous risk. Today the risk is enormous, because there's no absolute control over the Iranian stockpiling of non-conventional weapons. They're not allowing it, and they're taking it. And the inspectors, they're hiding it. They're hiding things. Everybody knows. They know themselves they're hiding things. It's the best you can do. You could do better. But I think America will do better if we'll do better. We must get the message through, not just that to bring like the present government is bringing to the notice of the American community the great dangers. At the same time, they've got to bring, they should be the ones quoting Kennedy and quoting even the basis of the Puritan concept of free, of recognizing truth and justice has to rule international relations. And if not, mankind is doomed to destruction. And we Jews should put forth that myth. That's the message of the prophets, message of the Bible. And let us hope that we will live up to it. And if the Jewish people will live up to it, then sages say Mashiach will come. That's the purpose of Mashiach. He will come at a time when mankind will recognize, and then the name of Hashem will come complete. We say it's all connected, recognizing that the power of Hashem should rule the world. As we say in the concluding prayer, we say this. It's when it says in the parasha of Amalek, it says, "Ki Yod Al Kesko," the name of Hashem is not complete, and His throne is not complete. That means His rulership over the world will not complete until Amalek is destroyed. So today as well, we have to make sure that Amalek, Zeicher Amalek, is destroyed. People recognize mankind cannot survive in this world unless mankind accepts the kingdom of Hashem. And we have to declare this. We will declare it in the same voice as the prophets of the Bible. Then I think we can be sure that this message will spread to the vast majority of human beings, and Yitzhak Hashem, this could bring Mashiach Tzidkenu in our time. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you've got any comments.